Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to let the clock in the foyer be the authority, so it says it's time for us to begin. Remember, we are in 2 Corinthians, so today we'll have chapter number 2. And 1 week I'll have the prayer, next week one of the good brothers will. Jody's going to have the prayer today, and I think 2 weeks from today, Vance will. So let's begin with the prayer.
Shall we pray? Our most loving, gracious Heavenly Father, we come before thy throne this beautiful Lord's Day to give thee thanks for the health that we have and the opportunity you've given us to come together and to study thy word. We thank thee, God, for all the spiritual blessings we enjoy through Christ Jesus our Lord. We're thankful for each of us here. We pray that you'll be with those that are traveling, they may arrive safely. We thank thee for Brother Harry and for the work that he does. Give him a remembrance of the things he studied, that we might glean from 2 Corinthians the things that you would have us know. Father, we are mindful of those that are sick, those that are troubled, those that are suffering with old age. For Billy Voss and others, Father, we pray that you would be with them and strengthen them and let them know the comfort that only you can provide. Forgive us when we fail thee, Father, and go with us to this study. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Judy. If you have some thoughts you want me to include in prayer next week, feel free to share it with me. And then Vance will have the prayer, or Van, 2 weeks from today. So again, whatever's on his heart and you want to share with him, that will be fine. Our basic format is we'll have a prayer, either me or one of the brothers. Thanks again. We'll have the reading of the chapter. I'll do that from the New King James Version and use one of the outlines that I found in many of the New King James Versions. Then, and we'll let the clock in the foyer be the authority. Then I'll stop, and I'll go back from one side to the other, right and left, and I'll allow so much time for you to speak, and I hope you will. And we'll be flexible, and if I have to close up my notes and put in the Bible, fine. But then after you speak, if there's any time left, I'll share with you some of my thoughts. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Now, lest I forget, it will help you a great deal to read it as a letter. Forget about the chapters, the verses, just read it as a letter. Now, we're going to take a chapter a week. And I will admit, having the Bible in chapter and verse form is extremely helpful. It's very convenient. But I have already found if you just read it as a letter, maybe it'll make a little more sense than as we just look at a chapter a week. So I would put in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, with last week's emphasis on chapter 1. And remember, we closed with the idea that Paul wanted to spare the churches. And that included especially Corinth. because he had the authority and power of an apostle. But he still, so I would put 1 and 2 of our chapter today with last week. Then in verses 3 through 11, to me, it simply says, remember, Paul's writing a letter, forgive the offender. And then the rest of the chapter, beginning at verse 12 through the close, verse 17, only 17 verses for today. We're going to put the emphasis, or at least I will, on triumph in Christ. Or if you like the word better, winning. Number one, in Christ. So I gleaned last week, we thought about, well, God's merciful, compassionate, comforting. To me, that was to say God cares. He really does. And then in today's lesson, God forgives. The emphasis is going to be on Paul forgiving. But why did Paul forgive? Because God would forgive. And then I will admit I'm looking forward to the Olympics. I believe we're going to be in Paris, right? It still thrills me when the American flag goes up, doesn't it? You? And they've either won the gold. We hope they've won the gold. But what about the silver or bronze? Hey, there are the three winners of all the athletes from the world. And if one of the athletes is ours, wow. So remember, never forget that. We're on the winning team. No ifs, ands, buts, or wherefores. And I think Jody really emphasized that in our study of Hebrews. Hey, we're on the winning team. Why would you want to give up when you have the best for even what is good or lesser? Now, we might disagree on how to use Revelation, but isn't that what the last book of the New Testament says? Who's going to win in the final analysis? It's going to be God and Christ and the Spirit. The devil and his colleagues, they're going down in defeat. Now, sometimes it may look like, oh, the devil's winning. But in the final analysis, those that are in Christ, if God wins, who else is going to win? So think about it. God's going to give us the gold. You can forget about the silver and bronze, isn't he? I've been asked the question, what do you remember about heaven? And then it dawned on me, I probably know more about hell than heaven because I don't want to go there. But I really need to maybe brush up on what's really said about heaven. And probably my word will be, I'll just stand back and say, wow. God's, whatever he wants to do, he can do it. And give you another word to think about. Rest. Wasn't Paul sometimes extremely tired? Didn't we even note last week he was tired of what was going on in Corinth? Some areas. But I find the word rest. Do we ever get so tired that, wow, if we could just rest? That's one way heaven is pictured. Rest. So I find it interesting, basically just three major thoughts. in our chapter today. So let's read it from that standpoint. First of all, again, continuing chapter 1, he wants to spare them in Corinth. But I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in what? In sorrow. He could have, but he didn't want to. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad? I like that. Words glad, sorrow. You'd want gladness over sorrow, wouldn't you? But the one who is made sorrowful by me. So, think about it. In my Bible, I put verses 1 and 2 as a continuation of chapter 1. Now we're ready. Remember, Paul forgave. Why? Because God forgives. Verses 3 through 11. And I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy. I like joy a little better than sorrow. Having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction or tribulation and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many what? I was reared, men don't cry. But undoubtedly, in English, what was the shortest verse in the New Testament? Jesus what? Wept. He cried, didn't he? My understanding is he really shed some tears. He knew what he was going to do, but he still wept. So, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. And I thought, well, I better check on that, and I did. We're going to encounter later, even in the chapter, Paul loved them in Corinth. That's agape love. I remember the Greeks had four words. We have one. I love ice cream. Oh, I really do. I can eat vanilla. But I like the other flavors too. I love Jesus. We're not talking about the same thing, are we? Really? I can do without the ice cream. If I had to. But doesn't this book say, hey, you can't do without Jesus. Is that really what it's affirming? You need Jesus. I need Jesus. So, now verse 5. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. Now, I'm aware that I grew up, what we're reading now fits the scene in 1 Corinthians 5. But some of our brethren, and particularly in the universities, doesn't refer to 1 Corinthians 5. It refers to the man, or my Bible, I find there was a group of them, I don't know how many, they followed Paul from town to town. Did they agree with what Paul would preach in that time? Now, I'll say right now as a preview, I don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. One explanation is would be the Jews that followed Paul from city to city and said, hey, don't pay any attention to him. He's not telling the truth. That would really be a thorn in the flesh, wouldn't it? If one of you got up and said, oh, don't pay any attention to Harry. That'd be a thorn in the flesh, wouldn't it? Okay, let's continue our reading. Verse 6. This punishment which was inflicted by what? By the men or the majority. So, first part of the letter is Paul dealing more with the majority. They liked him. And, of course, one of my favorite sections will be, it'll be July, before we get to it, would be giving. I like chapters 8 and 9. Probably know more about them. Finally, Donna, I mean, do you realize that what we do in our giving is based on 1 and 2 Corinthians? Really? So we go back to restore the church you read about in the Bible. What about our offering on the first day of the week? 1 Corinthians 16, and we're going to emphasize more 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. That's rather important. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man. That'd leave the impression then the majority said, yeah, he needs to be disciplined. What about the minority? He doesn't need to be. And they didn't like Paul. Then one day it dawned on me, did they, some like Jesus, some didn't. So if that was true of Jesus, wouldn't it be true of Paul? So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Remember, we've already noted, Paul wanted joy, gladness, rather than sorrow. So it really fits. And I grew up, it fits the scene in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and what Paul in his first letter emphasized. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your what to him? Love. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'll put mine up. Someone is restored. We're not careful, what do we say? Wonder if he's going to hold out. Is that what Paul said? I believe he said, you need to accept him. You need to forgive him. You need to love him. You need to help him any way you can. Rather than, oh, I wonder if he's going to hold out. If he's going to last. Isn't the emphasis of the word, we hope he lasts. And he goes to heaven, or she goes to heaven. For to this end I also wrote that I might put you to what? Test. My translation is test. Whether you are what? Obedient in all things. Okay, I think I gave you the answer, didn't I? You are obedient in all things. I like the song, trust and what? Obey. Song leaders, I've already said I like that song. Go ahead, Joe.
First Corinthians, Paul told the church to withdraw fellowship from this man who was caught in adultery. To some degree, he had to work.
I'm come from the standpoint, you know, as growing up, there's 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. I'm aware of, you know, some like to think, how many times did Paul visit Corinth, and they talk about the lost letter, the painful visit, or the severe letter. Some of them wouldn't even go as far as say, we're studying now his fourth letter. Well, maybe we are. But as we have it, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and I've already shared with you, I assume that we all know more about 1 Corinthians than we do 2 Corinthians. So hopefully, as we spend all summer, we'll at least, you'll know us more than you did before about 2 Corinthians. But now, verse 10, now whom you forgive anything, what does Paul affirm he would do? I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Now, remember I suggested it might be helpful as we go through 2 Corinthians, it's a letter. What's said about the Father? What's said about the Son? And we even noticed last week, hey, something was said about the Spirit, wasn't it? Now, look at verse 11. I need to add to that list. Anything said about Satan? Look at verse 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his what? Devices, strategy, means, methods, whatever you want to use. So, are there any references in the letter to Satan? Here's one. Okay. I like verses 3 through 11. And I can picture Paul did not like writing 1 Corinthians. And he had a lot of anguish about writing, and he shed a lot of tears. So I'd be the first to admit, I don't know whether I'd like to be part of a congregation like Corinth. They had so many problems. But go back, Paul referred to them, his letters, as the church of God, as followers of the faithful God. Wow. So, I like verses 3 through 11. Now we're ready. Remember, Paul's writing a letter to them. Some of them can read it, some can't. That put a lot of stress on the one that read the letter from Paul, wouldn't it? Hey, we got a letter from Paul in the mail this past week. We want to read it. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, now, I've already given, and I'm anxious to hear your answers. God forgives. God can open doors. Or I like the words opportunity, situations better. So last week, remember my thought was, watch your speech. I need to watch my speech, don't I? What I say and how I say it. Or, in this case, some would say, well, you know, he writes one way, but then in person, he's a little different. And Paul is saying, no, I'm not. If I have to be bold, I'll be bold. I prefer to emphasize joy and gladness rather than sorrow. But I'm not going to change. I can write one way, and I can in person be the same way. So, I need to watch our situations, my situations. What are our opportunities here at Sanford? I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother, but take my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now, again, I hope your Bible has a map. Where was Troas? Where was Macedonia? And when we studied the minor prophets, it really helped me. When Doug would show on the map, well, prophet was from this town, this part of the promised land. So, and remember, one of our thoughts last week was, how did God comfort Paul? How did Paul comfort the Corinthians and others? Well, one way was he was looking for Titus to come. They didn't quite have the ability to send emails, did they? So they had to do it by word of mouth. And so he was looking for Titus to come and hoped that he'd have a good report about what was happening in Corinth, that they were more for him than more against him, etc. Now, I'm trying. Remember, one of our thoughts was 2 Corinthians tells us about the heart of Paul. But now we're ready for verse 14. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Think of it. Anguish, tears. That sounds a lot like us. But he can still praise God. Thank God. Because we're on the winning team. God's going to win. Not Satan. Now, thanks be to God. I'm still going to trust in God. I'm still going to obey God. And I want you to do the same. Trust him. Obey him. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ. And among those who are perishing. You ever heard? This book either makes you better or worse. If you obey it, it makes you better. If you disobey it, I believe it could make you worse. So, think about it. Now let's continue our reading. Verse 16. To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death. And to the other, the aroma of what? Leading to what? I like life a little better than death, don't you? Wonder why. For we are not, as so many, or peddling the word of God. Other translations have to corrupt the word of God, adulterate the word of God. But as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God, in Christ. Now, next week we go into chapter 3. How does God speak? One way is through, we have a new covenant. Doesn't your Bible, like mine, have an Old Testament? Old Covenant? New Testament? New Covenant? We can be part of the new covenant. The new agreement with God. So, now, in my reading, I'm not adverse. First, we have the image here. Rome has conquered the world, so they have a parade. Here's the conquering general and his men. And incense is going up all over Rome. Guess who's in the parade? Those he's conquered. Some of them are going to be put to death. Others, they're going to allow them to live and do other things. Wonder which category I fit into. They're going to kill me at the end of the parade, or they're going to make me do something else. It's going to be death or life. And then, I'm not adverse. Back then, you'd go in the bar, the saloon, and order your beverage. And so the bartender might do what? He's going to make more money, remember, he wants to. He might corrupt it. He might put more water than he should. And because I'm going to make some more money. And the owner will really like that. It's still about money, isn't it? And could it sometimes that affect the church? So we'll deal with that a little more when we come to chapters 8 and 9. Okay. I'm going to shut up and let you speak. And I told you last week, when I went to Ukraine and thought was, you know, you say something, just one or two sentences, maybe three, then let your interpreter talk. Wow, that was really difficult. Because we're so used, you know, if you're talking, bang, bang, bang. That was quite a challenge. Stop. Let your translator. And then my thought was, seemed like it took her twice as long as what I said, but she was the translator. Okay. I'm going to go back and forth. Those from where I am, you're on my right. And on this side, you're on my left. So if you have a comment, question, another verse of scripture you'd like, let's start on the right. Anyone want to talk?
Well, the book of 2 Corinthians deals largely with Paul's getting at the results of 1 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. He worries about, did they actually follow through as he told them to? He also talks about the fact that I've commanded you to lay by a story. In 2 Corinthians, he talks about, he sent men ahead to confirm that maybe, so he wouldn't be embarrassed when he got there. And so all the thing in 2 Corinthians is really his struggle with how well did they receive 1 Corinthians.
Okay. Excellent. Look for that. We have no difficulty. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. I mean, he was divine and human. Now, Paul, he was guided by the Spirit, but he was also human, wasn't he? I don't think any of us still like if someone doesn't like us, right? I wonder why they don't like me. Oh, they like me, great. So can you identify with Paul? Some in Corinth liked him. Some didn't. Didn't matter what he did, like or dislike. So, excellent thought. Remember, our thesis, the heart of Paul. And I like, he could go in anguish, tears, and still say, oh, thanks be to God. Praise God. Triumph in Christ. That includes Corinth. if you're in Christ. So you might want to do some research. Remember, Corinth was a cosmopolitan city. People from all over the empire. Some of them, what they realized, not were interested in trusting the real God and obeying him, and others, so what? There were many gods, many lords, and they also believed in many goddesses. So think of it. There's a church of God in Corinth. There are those that believe in Jesus. Oh, it's true, they need to change some things. But why did Paul write to them? Here's how you can change. It's in your best interest to change. Sometimes you could just snap your finger and then sometimes if it's really ingrained, it might take a while for you to even get rid of it. So I can, you know, look at it both ways. Anyone on my left that has a comment or a question, another verse of scripture, on anything in 2 Corinthians. And again, remember, I've already reached the conclusion, there is a lot in that letter. And so this summer, all we can do is just survey the letter. And I will not claim that we exhausted. And so, if I do not have my answer to the question in the notes, well, remember the guidelines I shared last week? Guess what? We'll all say, all right, after the prayer and reading, we'll look at that question next week. We'll all have an opportunity to think about it, pray about it, open the book more. And then, remember, I also said I'll let you speak first. And hopefully the answer you've come up with would be the one I have. And so, but anyone on my left? Okay, go ahead. Dwayne.
I was just going to say that Paul, in a way, is unique among the apostles because he still remembers when he persecuted the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that some of his writing is inspired by God, and he writes exactly what he's supposed to.
He never, in one sense, never forgot it, but in another sense, he didn't let it hinder him. Okay.
And
yeah, that's an excellent thought. Remember, that's one of the thoughts. Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor, becomes now the Apostle Paul, the persecuted. Wow. That was quite a change, wasn't it? You know, he persecuted even men and women. I find it interesting, even his day, when it's a man's world. Saul and those with him went inside, and there's a woman that believes in Jesus. That's blasphemy, too. Men and women. Didn't he say somewhere where, when the thought was death rather than life, I joined in. So, okay. Anyone else, either side? Go ahead.
He says that God opened doors for him in Troas. In Galatians 6:10, it says that as you have opportunity, I believe God opens a lot of doors. Sometimes we fail to see the door. And possibly, the doors God opens, he doesn't make you go into them. You have to take that initiative on your own. And you have to be the mindset that you're looking for those opportunities that God does.
And then we have to go through and do our part, okay? Excellent. I'm giving a lot of thought to it. What about Sanford 10 years from now? I'm going to assume you know how old I will be if I live. But What about 25 years from now? 50? 100? Will there even be a church here? Will there be a church and the brethren are there? They are looking for the door, for the opportunity, for the situation. And they've utilized it. And with God's help and blessing, wow. Look what was done. And I've been guilty of it too. Look what we have done. Well, I think we need to change it a little bit and say, look what God did through us. Look what God did through Paul. We say, oh, now careful with it. He wasn't a likely candidate. He's the great persecutor. Oh, here comes Paul, Saul of Tarsus and his men. We need to get out of here. And then at first, when he went to Jerusalem, did they say, good to see you, brother? No, they were wondering, it's a big question mark. I wonder if he's real, this genuine. Who stood up for him? Barnabas. He later even stood up for John Mark, even though they're related. He would stand up for people. He stood up and said, no, he's real. He's genuine. He's a believer in Jesus. And later, he'll be an apostle. So, okay, excellent. Anyone? Okay, Steve? I saw your hands. I'll let you speak.
No, I was just going to say one of the things I always enjoy when reading the scriptures is when I find something that's a surprising little, like an inspiration or upbeat comment that's made. It's almost made offhand. So in verse 14, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. And I like that because sometimes we get this thought in our mind that our triumph is after we die and we go to heaven and everything like that. But this kind of indicates that we have triumph every day, that he constantly leads us in triumph.
We have an abundant life now and eternal life to come.
So we have some reward now.
Give you a preview of attraction. Next week, we'll think about our attitude toward the new covenant. Now, I'll confess. 2 Corinthians 3 will emphasize that we're not under the old. We're under the new. And in the New King James, the thought will be, the old is passing away. So, now, remember, I've changed. In the past, I'd say, oh, I'm a New Testament Christian. Now, I would say, well, I'm trying to be a Bible-believing Christian. Now, that still says a lot. I'm looking to Jesus. I'm a Christian. But it's also saying, I believe the Old Testament was from God. It's God's Word. Oh, it wasn't to us. But we can learn a lot from the Old Testament. So, I'll close on this comment. I've been known. I don't hear the bell, but I heard that one. So, okay. Good to have you this morning. I realize that this is the summer. A lot are going to be in and out. Fine. If you're in town, come and be with us. And let's look maybe a little more in depth at 2 Corinthians. But again, thanks for coming today. And 15 minutes, we'll be ready for our morning service.